It seems as though most of the time when Jesus was teaching and preaching, there would usually be a large crowd there. A lot of times the Bible used the word multitude. I think in the New King James it may say many people. In John chapter 6, find Jesus there in the Galilean area. If you read through John chapter 6, it will say that he's in a synagogue in Capernaum. And it starts off there. He has healed some people from diseases. And there's lots of people there with him and watching and seeing all the things which he's doing. Then Jesus asks the people at one time, he says, basically says, you're following me not because you believe, but because of the food in which I fed you. Because he had already taken some loaves of bread and some fish and fed a multitude of people. And as he began to preach there to all the people, he speaks of himself as being the bread of life. Some of the people there seem to be somewhat confused about what he was saying. Jesus go in verse number 41 of John chapter 6, the Jews says, then the Jews then complained about him because he said, I'm the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is this it then that he says, I have come down from heaven? Jews are somewhat confused about what he was saying. They said, we know him. His mother, his Mary, his father is Joseph, and he says that he came from above. They didn't quite understand what he was saying. He goes on there in verse number 48, and he says once more again that I am the bread of life. Then you drop down verse number 52 of John chapter 6. The Jews therefore quarrel among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus had talked about eating of the flesh. He's talked about drinking of the blood, alluding to communion, to Lord's Supper. They still don't quite understand what's going on there. Keep on reading. Verse number 59, these things he said in the synagogues as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore, many of the disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profit nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and also we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I would probably say that it was somewhat sad that Jesus, that the people that he had there, the multitude who was following him, that some turned around and went back and walked with him no more. They had been with him. They had saw all the things that he had done. And all of a sudden, they decided not to walk with him anymore. An old problem that still exists today. You know and I know that we can think of people who have taken the time to hear the gospel, taking time to be baptized, and seem somewhat all excited about doing the will of God and following Jesus. And then somewhere along the line in their life, they decide, well, I'm going to go back. I'm going to turn around. I'm going to stop following Jesus. A I like the question that Jesus asked the disciples. Do you also want to go away? You make up your mind. Are you going to leave too? Are you going with them? Are you going to follow the crowd? What are you going to do? Peter gives a good answer. Question is, those who turn around and went back and walk with him no more, where did they go to? Location-wise, the scripture doesn't say here. It doesn't say whether they went back to their homes, whether they went back to their jobs, back to their families, or maybe they went and got with the Jews and followed their teaching. It doesn't say. But spiritually, you ask the question, where do they go? Those who at one time are faithful in serving God, and they stop following Jesus, stop following God's teaching, and go away and become unfaithful, where do they go? Is there like a safe place in between faithful and unfaithful? A place you can hide out, a neutral place? No, it's not. Where do they go? I have about five answers. We're only going to look at two of them this evening. Where do they go? When one becomes unfaithful to God and makes that decision that he's no longer going to follow God's teaching, he's no longer going to follow Jesus' example, he comes to the conclusion in his life he's going to go back to where he came from. Where does he go? Where do they go? Well, first of all, in a general sense, they go back into a life of sin. Go back into a life of sin. There's no, like I said, there's no little safe place where I really don't want to be faithful. I just camp out here. They go back into a life of sin. Robin did an extremely good job this morning on describing sin and all the things that sin does to, how sin is deceitful, how sin causes one to walk in darkness. And here we find these people, they've been with Jesus, they've seen the things that he's done, and they get to the point in their life where they say, I'm going back. But where do they go? Where do you go when you get to the point in your life where you say, I don't want to follow Jesus anymore. I don't want to follow God anymore. I don't want to be a faithful Christian anymore. Where do you go? Well, there's only one place you can go. Back to sin. Back to a life of sin. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Look at Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Verse number 1. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard as we drift away. Encouragement and warning to take serious. The things that we've heard. Give more earnest heed to the things that we've heard that we don't drift away. And falling away from God is not something that happens overnight. I'm convinced it's a gradual thing. Bit by bit, bit by bit. Next thing you know, you get to the point in your life where you say, well, I don't think I need God anymore. Where do they go? Well, some go back into a life of sin. Back to a life of sin. When you get to the point in your life where you say, well, I'm not going to be faithful to God. You already have decided that you're going to live in sin. In Hebrews chapter 12. Verse number 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnare us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of all faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The writer encouraged the reader to don't be so easily ensnared with sin. And when I think of the word ensnared, I think of being a kid growing up in the country. We made these little traps where you took a string and you tied it in like a loop and you put it down there. We would stand back on the very far end. We would hide. We would have the other end of the string. And when like a little bird come in, we would pull it and snatch him up and trap him. He says, beware of sin, it don't so easily be ensnared that hinder us from running the race. And that's what happened when a person gets to the point where they're going to turn back, no longer follow Jesus, no longer follow God's teaching. He simply get all snared, all tied up, and wind right back in the life of sin. Where do they go? I've talked with some people who have drawn the conclusion that, well, I don't attend worship, but I'm okay. Read my Bible, I'm okay. I don't have to be there at worship. I don't have to be there to give. I don't have to be there to sing. I don't have to be there to hear the word of God. I don't have to be there to partake of the Lord's Supper. I'm okay. As long as I just stay here, mind my own business and be nice, I'm okay. Little that person know he has been deceived by sin. He's already turned his back on the Lord. For those people, when they heard the things that Jesus taught, some of them came to the conclusion, I'm going back. I've had enough. I'm not going to follow this. But where do they actually go? Some go back into life of sin. Matthew chapter 12. Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 12. Look at verse number 30. He says, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatter abroad. Either you're for Jesus or against Jesus. There's no in-between safe place. Where do they go? Those who choose to walk away from the truth after hearing, after obeying it. Those who get to the point of lives where they say that, well, I don't need this. I'm going my own way. Where do they go? Quickly, do they go back into sin? And 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Start verse number 21, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb. A dog returned to his vomit, and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire. What a picture painted there. A dog returning to his vomit. A sow, pig, all clean. But then returns right back there to the mud and roll and turn all back in again. The picture he paints there is of someone who obeyed the gospel, who knows what's right, and then turn around and go back. Where do they go? Well, as I've said, they go back to life of sin. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, start at verse number 9. 2 Timothy chapter 4, start at verse number 9. Paul says, be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. Something happened along the way. Demas fell in love with the world. Demas turned away. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say exactly what was there that caused him to drift away. And as far as we know of, the scripture doesn't teach that he ever repented and came back. But what we do know is Paul says that Demas, having forsaken me, loving the present world. Demas had known the truth. He'd obeyed the gospel. And then he turned away. Where do they go? Those who choose to cease following the gospel. It's pretty obvious. They go back to sin. 1 John chapter 2. In 1 John chapter 2. John gives us a warning in 1 John chapter 2, verse number 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. Sometimes that's what happened. People fall in love with the world. And by falling in love with the world, they come to a point in life where they say, well, I'm going to stop following the teachings of God. And they go back to a life of sin. Where do they go? They go back to a life of sin. And in James chapter 4, James makes some very good points there in James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Sorry, verse number 4. Adulterers and adulteress, do you know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Friendship with the world, living like the world, behaving like the world, acting like the world, running with the world, causes one to be in sin. Therefore, he becomes an enemy of God. And that's what sometimes happens. To those who have obeyed the gospel, they wind up going back into a life of sin. Where do they go? And I was just thinking about 2 days ago of some people I know that at one time, several years back, worshiped with us, and it seemed as though we tend to forget them. You know, we haven't seen them in a while, in several years, and seem to just leave our minds. As though they're in a nice little safe place, everything is okay, even though they're not with us, that little in-between place. There is no in-between place, people. When they turn their back on the Lord, turn their back on the church, where else can they be but in sin? Where do they go? Well, they go back to a life of sin. Now, I believe that Jesus was very concerned about those people who walked away and left because he knew that they was going back into sin. Secondly, I got one more point, okay? I'm not going to count to three. I got one more point, and we'll be through. Now, this is not a very specific direction as to where they go. I've come to learn, and from talking with someone within the last 6 months, on this subject, some who turn their backs on the Lord, turn their backs on the church, turn their backs on God's commandments, turn their backs on the word of God, sometimes people do that because of their desire and their connection to go back into materialism. I talked with someone a while back who had this great plan this person had, at least they thought so. Once they get to the point where they can make all the money they want to make and get financially situated, then they would stop and come back and repent and then serve God. You know, it usually doesn't work that way. Satan is deceiving them. They're walking in darkness. Once you get out there and you stay a little bit longer, a little bit longer, a little bit longer, eventually, sometime you don't find your way back home. Yet some are not satisfied with the promises of eternal life and eternal riches that God has given us, but their desires for great wealth and great material things lead them astray. Matthew 16. Matthew chapter 16. If you haven't heard this verse before, you haven't been reading your Bible. Matthew chapter 16. Verse number 26. For what profit it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? Jesus taught him many great lessons by asking questions. He says, what shall a man profit if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? But yet there have been people who have obeyed the gospel who've fallen for this, who've been out seeking and searching for great wealth and great riches and turned their backs on the church. And by turning your back on the church, you've also turned your back on the Lord. Where do they go? Well, sometimes when they decide to go their own direction, sometimes they wind up going into materialism, seeking to gain and acquire all that which the world has to offer them. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Jesus says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on the earth where moth and rust destroys and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasures is, therefore your heart will be also. Encouraging words from Jesus. Where your treasures are, that's where your heart will be. If your heart is fixed upon treasures on this world, eventually, you probably let that lead you into materialism. If you're just living your life for all that which you can gain, materialistic, traveling down a very dangerous path. Remember in Matthew chapter 6 where Jesus says, don't worry about these things, food, clothing, and shelter. All these things, don't worry about them. I will provide these for you. Then at verse number 33, he says, what you need to do is get your priorities right by what? Seeking first the kingdom of God. Where do they go? Sometimes those who stray away from the church wind up going into materialism, having their priorities all wrong, seeking those things which are not going to last forever. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 7, for he brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. I wasn't born with a suitcase in my hand, neither were you. I brought nothing into this world, and I'm going to take nothing out. Is he saying here that you shouldn't be concerned about having some things? No, it's keeping the right perspective. And keep on reading it, verse number 8. And having food and clothing, and these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and snares and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. What a warning. Paul says to Timothy, be content with those things, clothing, food, and shelter. And that many have messed up their lives spiritually in search of great wealth. You know, and I know once you begin to search for great wealth, there's a lot of temptation comes along with it. And there's been Christians who have been living faithful, and all of a sudden they decide to acquire great wealth. And before you know it, they drift away. You don't see them anymore. They're gone. Where do they go? Is there a safe place to hide out at? No. Sometimes they go back into materialism. Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. Jesus says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Small verse, big statement. Talks about two things there, the temporal and that which is eternal. For Jesus says his words will never pass away, but the things around us, the earth, heavens above us, and all those things that we sometimes place so much emphasis in, these things will one day pass away. So the things I'm willing to risk, the thing I'm willing to gamble on and reach and grab and push salvation aside, to hold on to these things, Jesus says, look here, they will pass away one day. It really doesn't matter on the day of judgment. Where do they go? Sometimes when people turn away from being faithful, sometimes they go into materialism, seeking and acquiring all that shines and glitter. Colossians chapter 3. Every time I look at Colossians chapter 3, starting verse 1 going down, I think about Jacob. Why? Jacob did a message on this about 2 years ago, and I always remember that. Colossians chapter 3, start verse number 1. Of then you were raised with Christ. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Paul encouraged the church of Colossae to set their mind on spiritual things. For when Jesus returns, he's not going to be concerned about how many houses we own. That's not really going to matter. What's really not going to matter on the day that Jesus returns, or whether I'm wearing brand name clothing or plain everyday simple clothing, that's really not going to matter. What's really going to matter is whether I've been faithful. Because John 12:48 said, those words will judge me at the end. I think sometimes, even within the Lord's church, some of our people get so caught up in things which are material, wind up drifting away, been fashioned by the world. Second Peter 3:10-11, Peter begins to talk about the end things. He talks about the day that Jesus returned, and Peter goes on saying, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10-11, says, all these things will be dissolved. All the things that sometime we put so much emphasis in, they shall be dissolved. They shall be burned up. They shall be no more. So am I willing to lose my soul over something that shines, looks good, and is new? Or am I willing to take the advice from Paul to church of Colossae and set my mind on the things which are above? Where do they go? You just wonder, you know, what did Jesus think when the people walked away, when they turned their back on him and went the other direction? Where did they go? Well, we know, first of all, they turned their back and refused to be obedient to the word of God. They went back in sin. And secondly, sometimes people turn their back on following God for the things that shine, going back into materialism. Where do they go? Next time I speak, we'll finish up on this. Where do they go? When you read the book of Jonah, there's a lot of lessons to learn from it. One lesson I get from the book of Jonah is that Jonah tried to outthink God. God gave Jonah instructions as to what he was supposed to do, where he was supposed to go, and Jonah got this humongous idea, hey, I go down there, I hop on the ship, I go this direction, I will leave from the presence of God, and God won't even know where I'm at. And you see what happened? Because of his disobedience, it brought all sorts of troubles on him. It would have been just simpler and easier for him to have taken the word of God, followed the instructions, and did what God said. You know and I know, when we stop and look back at our lives, and many times we decide to do our own thing, go against what God have commanded us to do, and we've made big messes of our lives. But this evening, you're here, and there's sin in your life, and you know exactly what you're supposed to do, because God knows if there's sin in your life. Don't try to hide it. Don't try to cover it up. What's the best thing to do with it? Simply repent. Turn from it. Confess that sin. So you can enjoy a right relationship with God. Being here this afternoon and you're not a Christian, you can't get away from God. He sees you and he knows exactly where you're at. So what the right thing to do? The right thing to do is become a Christian. Be obedient to the gospel. Hear it, believe it, repent, confess, and be baptized. Rise up out of the water, brand new creature, and don't become one of those in John chapter 6, who walked with Jesus no more. You be one who will spend all of your life walking with Jesus, being obedient, and doing the things that are right, so people won't wonder, where did you go? Let's sing.